Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Bernola and Eric.
It's Syracuse and Virginia from the same conference with a chance to go to the Final Four. But I'm sure for Syracuse might be on the break. Thompson, for the Cavaliers. Perentis, three. He's knocked down four of them. Perentis, another one. Syracuse down by 16.
Beautiful move by Cody. They've got it down to 10 now.
Got a big lead. And we let it go.
Good move by Richardson to get three. What a play by the freshman.
But it's Syracuse pressure. It's really bothering for him.
That press on us beautifully held it in the best fashion. Right, that's what gave us life. I think it turned the game around.
White three. We have a 3-point lead. Syracuse to the bench of an 18-4 run. Richardson sniping his way. Now Syracuse gets the lead.
It's a great comeback. One of the best I've coached.
Richardson three. Wow. That is unbelievable. Are we about to see our third number one go down? Richardson can come to drop it in. Richardson scored mid. A 25-0 run by Syracuse. A monumental run. This is unbelievable. Syracuse going to the Final Four.
Hi, welcome to another edition of Hot Takes. I'm Eric Nifong. You can find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong. I'm joined by Nolan Haig. You can find him on Twitter at NJH09. And it's a good time to be a sports fan right now. We have the Final Four coming up, opening day baseball this weekend. It's going to be a great weekend. We had another great weekend of the tournament. Elite Eight games were not really close, most of them, but we had some great, Sweet 16 games weren't really close. The Elite Eight games, though, were pretty good. Did you enjoy watching the games, and are you pretty excited about this Final Four?
I got to see as much as I could, but yeah, it was like you said, that Sweet 16 wasn't all that it was probably built up to be, but a lot of good storylines going into the Elite Eight, and some good games in there, and hopefully we'll have a great Final Four.
Yeah, it should be good. A couple of surprises in there, but I know we're going to talk about that, so I guess we can kind of get kicked off here with that. And our first game of the day was Villanova-Miami. Game was never really close. Villanova has kind of gotten rid of that early elimination from the tournament bug this year, and they're, as we know, headed to the Final Four. But that Miami game really stood out to me. They haven't really had any troubles throughout the tournament so far before that, and the way they're just able to take it to Miami, I think they're on a mission, and they haven't stopped yet. So Villanova's looked pretty good so far. What do you like their chances against Oklahoma on here coming up on Saturday?
That's a completely different thing, especially considering OU kind of blew them out earlier in the year. But like you've been saying, they've been playing really well. They've been playing good defense. They're probably the best defensive team left out of the Final Four. Easily. You got to respect what they've done. They played the highest possible seed in every game. They took down the number one overall seed in the tournament, Kansas. They won, I think it was 17 games in a row. They definitely have, you could make that case that they're the best team in the tournament, or have been the best team in the tournament. When it comes to Oklahoma, that's a different story. And especially with, how they've gotten to where they are. So,
yeah, I think it's going to be a great matchup. I think Villanova's more the better team, maybe, but I think Oklahoma has the best player in the country and left on in the tournament without a doubt. And I think that's going to be a very interesting matchup. and the most important matchup, because if Buddy Hield's on, it's very tough to beat that team, and I don't know if anyone's going to do it that's left. So Villanova's got a pretty tough test ahead of them, but they proved that they can take on these powerhouses like Kansas and knock them off. I mean, they did pretty much everything right. They shot 18 and 19 from the free throw line, which was huge in a close game. Hit 6 for 6 down the stretch, and none of them even touched the rim. So those kids are definitely ready for the big time, and I think that they're going to be ready. But it's just going to be a fun matchup to watch them against Buddy Hield here on Saturday. I think that's going to be the best game of the day.
Yeah, I think you could be right there. They definitely made Kansas look nowhere near like the team that we've seen lately, held them to the lowest point total all season, 59. And like you said, they made free throws down the stretch when they needed to, and because Kansas could have easily won that game despite playing as below their potential as they did. But yeah, with Oklahoma, you've got probably the best player in the country, easily the best single player in the tournament, in the way he can take over games. Against Oregon, he was hitting everything. didn't matter where it was, three, mid-range, fadeaway, he was all over it. And if basketball is that game, if he can take over, then you don't have a chance. But it's not like he's doing it all by himself. He's got a lot of experienced starters playing alongside him. And, yeah, it could be a great – yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to be the better game of the two. I mean, at least the more exciting one to watch.
Yeah, I definitely think that game is going to be within five, whoever wins it. I think it's going to really come down the stretch, and I know we'll pick that game here in a little bit, but what you're saying about Oregon, I thought Oregon actually played that game really well. They battled, but every time they got a little run together, Buddy Hield was just there to hit another three. And kind of like what we see in the NBA with Steph Curry and the Warriors, anytime a team tries to make a run, those threes really put you back into a big hole quicker than what you want to be in. And Oklahoma's a three-point shooting team, and when Cousins and Woodard and Buddy Hield are hitting them, that team's almost impossible to beat. But I think Kadeem Latin is going to be a big factor in the game coming up on Saturday. So it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, definitely. That's a lot. Anything else you got on that side of the bracket, I guess? There's one thing I kind of – just a little hot-button issue, I guess, was after the Duke and Oregon game, when Oregon kind of handled Duke fairly easily, there was the whole situation with Coach K and his comments to Dylan Brooks. What did you think about all that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get why Coach K lied about what he said. Dylan Brooks had already said that, and then he came out to say that Dylan Brooks lied. And Dylan Brooks was just being honest the whole time. I mean, I think a lot of things were put on Dylan Brooks that shouldn't have been going up to the game. I mean, his coach told him to shoot it. He shot it, went in. Either way, you were down 11. What's it matter? That one shot didn't change the outcome of the game or anything. And shot it from half court. He made it. I don't get what the big deal was. Coach K, he's had players at Duke that go a little overboard. I mean, so I don't know. Is he kind of makes me think if he's just kind of a sore loser. I mean, no one likes to lose, so it's kind of interesting. I just didn't get why he lied about what he said at the end of the post game when the reporter said Dylan Brooks had already told him this, made it come out and seem like Dylan Brooks had lied about it. And I do think that all this talk throughout the week kind of put Oregon in a bad spot because they had their mind maybe a little elsewhere and not on the game ahead of them. Because I really thought Oregon was going to beat Oklahoma. I liked the way they had been playing. I thought that their athleticism and their shooting would be able to match up with Oklahoma, but it just didn't turn out to be that way. I mean, a lot of credit goes to Buddy Hield and the Sooners, but I just thought that a lot of that had to take some steam out of their engines a little bit. So I don't know.
Yeah, as far as that whole thing goes, I mean, I felt like he, Coach K, felt like he was being attacked, like Dylan Brooks was telling on him in a way. But and that's kind of why he went to, you know, oh, I didn't say that, because, it's not like there was somebody had a microphone within earshot of us in that loud arena. But, of course, when the video comes up, yeah, he has to eat his words. But, it seems weird. It's not a terrible thing to say, but you know, he just played the game of his life and beat Duke in the NCAA tournament, and he's gonna be excited. He's, you know, taking the shots, whatever. Yeah, it doesn't really have any impact on the game, but whole situation.
Yeah, and it's not
just... go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, it's not like the kid's a senior. I mean, he's still a sophomore. So, I mean, he still has some learning to do, and I don't think it was necessarily a horrible thing that he did to see a little enthusiasm like that. Coach K's been around for a while. I don't know why he would think there wouldn't be a microphone or camera
right
next to him.
He had an old man moment.
Like that, so. Yeah, so just kind of. Kind of interesting how all that turned out, but it's kind of old news now, so I guess we'll just move on from there.
All right, what next? I guess we got
I guess we can go to the ACC side of the bracket.
Right, of course, yeah, because that's that entire side ended up being the entire regionals on that side of the bracket was ACC.
Yeah, no other conference from the Sweet 16 could get it done. Just like the other side of the bracket, there weren't really any close games. Syracuse, Gonzaga, and Wisconsin, Notre Dame were the best games. But really, Notre Dame, Wisconsin was a pretty ugly game to watch. Close one at the end, and Wisconsin really coughed that game up. Notre Dame had no business winning that game, but three steals in the last, 30 seconds or so helped Notre Dame get the victory. What did you see down the stretch? Because I was watching that game. I thought Wisconsin had the momentum. They just couldn't inbound the ball and then couldn't get a shot off there at the end, as Demetrius Jackson may have got away with a little bit of a foul, but in that situation, you can't hope for a foul. You just got to play. And Demetrius Jackson just took it away from Bronson Koenig. So Wisconsin wasn't able to get it done. What did you like about that game?
I didn't catch the end of this game. I watched a little bit of the first half, but I wasn't able to. This wasn't them getting that tip in at the end, was it?
No, it was not.
That was Stephen F. Austin.
Stephen F. Austin. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. See, I didn't see. I'm not even sure if I saw what happened. But yeah, it sounds like they just couldn't handle the ball, which is a theme for Virginia.
Yeah, pretty much.
Maybe not handling the ball, but yeah, had some trouble.
Yeah, pretty much. Wisconsin had control of the game. I think they were up 56-53. They turned it over once, made it a one-point game. And on the inbound, Notre Dame had a full-court press, threw it right to Notre Dame. It was Demetrius Jackson. He got a layup. They gave him the lead. I think they came down. Wisconsin missed the shot. Notre Dame got the ball back, made a shot. They're up three. Wisconsin had a chance to come down, hit a three, and Demetrius Jackson just came right in and stole it at half court. And game was over from there. So it was pretty interesting. Wisconsin didn't even get a shot off there at the end and just got it stolen from them. So, yeah, Wisconsin gave that game away, and Notre Dame took it.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta give Notre Dame credit. They were able to survive in the tournament for as long as they did. I mean, they also got to that same position last year. I think it was the Elite Eight, and they played a pretty good game against Kentucky, but just came up short. But yeah, good
yeah.
for them.
Yeah, no one will remember it, but a great run by Notre Dame. I've always really liked Zach August. Never been too much of a Fighting Irish fan, but I've always liked Zach August and made it to back-to-back Elite Eight. So it's a pretty big step for that program. And if I was an NBA team, I'd take a look at August towards the end of the second round. I think that he could be a little bit of a steal for a team coming off the bench. So we'll have to see how that goes.
Yeah, awesome. All right, well, I guess if we're going to talk about that game, we got to go up to the top where North Carolina finally kind of caught fire offensively against Indiana, scored, I guess, it was 101 points. and a lot of it started with Marcus Page hitting his first four threes, ended up with 21 points. Bryce Johnson had 20 and 10. North Carolina seems to be playing their best ball, at least offensively. They scored at least 83 points in every game in the tournament so far, and that's a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think they caught fire in this game. I think they caught fire in the very first game against Florida Gulf Coast. Their guards have been making shots, and we've been saying it all year. If their guards make shots, it's possibly the best team in the nation. And I think they're proving it right now, and I don't know if they're going to slow down until the end. So we know what Bryce Johnson and Kennedy Meeks can do down low, and then when you add Marcus Page, Joel Berry, and others, Justin Jackson and others making shots on the out, team's really tough to beat. So, they're definitely hitting their stride at the right time.
Right, because I mean, when they're so good on the inside, making two-point shots and rebounding, when you add that element of the three-point game, there's almost nothing you can do. It's similar to what the Warriors are doing. they just play and move the ball so well and can shoot from anywhere that what are you gonna do about it?
Yeah. Yeah, not too much, and especially if Marcus Page is playing like the ACC player of the year that we all thought he would be this season. That team's rolling, so let's see if they keep it rolling in Houston.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's, I guess, take it down to Virginia and they basically handled Iowa State without much issue. Gonzaga and Syracuse actually played a close game because apparently Syracuse just likes to get down in the second half and come back just for the heck of it. I think they were down 9. I'm not sure how much time was left, but it, I think there's about 6 minutes or so. And, I mean, just a preview, though, of what they would do.
Yeah, Tyler Lydon. Remember that name in college basketball. He's a freshman for Syracuse. He's a big. He's around 6'8", 6'9". I think he has over a 7-foot wingspan, too. I think he's had, besides the Virginia game, I think he's had at least 5 blocks in every tournament game. He's done that multiple times this season. He could also hit threes with or without shoes. And
right.
Yeah. He's really stepped, and Syracuse, I think this is the best job Jim Boeheim has ever done. I think Syracuse was out to prove a point. I don't know if that point has been proven yet, and who knows how far they're going to take it. But right now, they're proving everyone wrong that told them they shouldn't be in the tournament. So just goes to show you that if a powerhouse like Syracuse gets in the tournament, they can make a run. Just got to get hot at the right time.
Yeah, what makes it even more incredible, of course, is the fact that they lost 5 of 6 heading into the tournament. There was a lot of arguments that they shouldn't even be in the tournament. And then that first weekend, you could say, oh, well, they didn't really beat anybody. But these last two victories have been quite convincing.
Yeah, they have. And don't they have, aren't they the lowest team with RPI to ever make the tournament?
I'm not 100% sure on that, but I'll take your word for it.
I believe that that's correct. I think they had RPI 68, and I think that's the lowest any team's ever had making it to the tournament, which is makes it all that more.
I do know that they have the most loss. They have the most losses of a team to make the Final Four at 13. It's kind of a lot of losses.
Yeah, 19 and 13 headed to the tournament. So,
especially for a team that you would expect to be in the tournament as a one seed much more than you would a 10 seed.
Yeah, most definitely. Also, first 10 seed to ever make it. And
right.
Yeah, they pretty much. I never said that they didn't belong, but I had them losing on the second weekend, and they have not. I think they got a little bit of a draw of being able to take on Middle Tennessee State, but can't take anything away from this team because
they've been inconsistent on offense all year, but when you get a little bit of a hot hand and you keep coming up with teams that aren't quite familiar with that zone, or in Virginia's case, the first sign of a press.
Yeah.
You can kind of take you somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of worried. I thought they kind of had easy draws at first. Dayton's a tough team, but I thought they'd beat Dayton. Dayton didn't really impress me too much this season. But I thought they got a good draw with Middle Tennessee State, and I thought Gonzaga would be a tough game. Same thing with Gonzaga and Dayton, though. I didn't think Gonzaga was that strong of a team, but Syracuse really proved a lot to me when they were able to beat Virginia and be able to come back like that. Malachi Richardson with 23 points in the second half. I think he had two in the first half. So, the two freshmen for Syracuse have really stepped up for this team, and Richardson and Leiden. And they're going to need them. They're going to need them to step up even more on Saturday and bring their A game for both halves.
Definitely. Like you said, Malachi Richardson definitely went off. He was featured prominently in the intro. On the defensive end, it started when Boeheim switched to that full court press. They were down literally the first 30 minutes of the game by double digits or more, and Virginia. It wasn't that they weren't. It wasn't that they weren't handling the ball. They weren't breaking the press. They were. It was just they were taken out of their game by the press, and they were taking ill-advised shots and early shots, and not doing what they do, which is with their ball control and holding on to it for as long as possible and finding the right shot. And got them out of their game, and now they're out of the tournament again.
Yeah, I thought this might be their year, especially when Michigan State got knocked out. I thought that they got past that roadblock, but couldn't make it happen. Couldn't hold on the lead. Like you said, they just fell apart at the first sign of a press and at the first sign that they had to speed up. And one interesting thing I heard from Jay Williams, I think it was, at the end of the game last night, he was talking about how he just said basketball players can adapt to two different styles of the game. Basketball stars can adapt to any style of game, and Virginia just doesn't really have those type of guys. Malcolm Brogdon's great, but he's not the type of guy to be able to just put the team on his back, and I kind of saw how he got that in this game, because Malcolm Brogdon didn't shoot the ball well, but he also couldn't help not turn the ball over whenever the press was coming, which is what they needed. They need someone to kind of slow them down and get them back into their game, and no one really did it, so I think that was kind of their undoing in the game.
Yeah, Malcolm Brogdon only 2 of 14 shooting. Did manage to get 12 points, but yeah, no, it's definitely not good enough when you're supposed to be player of the year.
And defensive player of the year.
Right. And then you've got Perontes kind of going, he scores 15 points in the first half and then 3 in the second. So it just, yeah, just not a complete game from Virginia.
Yeah. He was hitting some, pretty far out threes in the first half. And I kind of thought to myself that he wouldn't be able to keep that up all game, and Virginia's going to have to find something else. They can't be relying on deep threes like that, because that's not really their team. Thought they need to feed Anthony Gill, but he kind of got in some foul trouble, so they couldn't do that there for a while. And then once Syracuse got him out and running, they couldn't really find him there either. So it was Syracuse was just able to turn that game completely upside down and changed the pace of it, and I think it just completely took Virginia off guard, because they had it in control for 35 minutes or so, and all of a sudden it switched, and they really couldn't get it to slow back down, and that was not good for them.
Yeah, yep, that was a 20-25-4 run for Syracuse to retake that lead and kind of put it away. Anyway, I guess the last thing I got on that is, what are your feelings on Kevin Harlan's call at the end of the game? If you were offended by that or not, I guess.
What did he say?
As the buzzer sounds, he, you know, just celebrating Syracuse and their comeback, said something to the effect of, Syracuse back on Easter Sunday. And of course, you know, we've got to take offense to everything. So there it is. Got a problem with that, I guess.
What did you say? You kind of cut out there when you were saying
Okay. He basically said something to the effect of, Syracuse back from the dead on Easter Sunday. So,
oh,
of course, people are offended to that reference.
I don't have a problem with it. Sure, other people are going to have a problem with it, but it's whatever. I mean, he probably just thought of it there at the end. And
oh, yeah,
he
said
no. It.
As far as I'm concerned,
Kevin
Harlan's one of the best basketball announcers out there, if not one of the best just play-by-play announcers out there. So, I thought it totally fit. It wasn't like he, I don't know. It's just not as bad as people are making it out to be.
Yeah, honestly, I was listening to the end of the game. Probably heard him say that. Didn't make me think twice. I mean, I didn't.
Right. Didn't even register.
Said,
exactly.
Yeah. So. Yeah, people of course are gonna have a problem with it. People are gonna have a problem with things all the time. But you know what? You just got to do what you got to do, and not worry about what other people are gonna think. I don't think it was too bad. So yeah, you're right. Kevin Harlan's one of the best probably overall announcers in any sport, and. I don't think it's going to affect him too much.
Right. It's, yeah. All right. Well, you got anything else on the tournament or anything coming up before we move along?
Yeah, I actually, I had a question for you.
Sure.
Kind of, we don't talk much about women's basketball, but do you think UConn is the way they just dominate teams, you think that's kind of ruining the women's game? I mean, I know we don't really watch it, but I mean, I watch a little bit of it, but do you think that that's kind of just make people turned off to it, or do you think people will tune in to watch a great team like that? What are your kind of thoughts on that? I mean, we're seeing it in a couple sports here with the Warriors and things like that. So do you think great teams like that turn people off and don't make it as exciting, or you think people want to watch that?
I mean, obviously, if you're a UConn basketball fan, you want to watch that, or you're at least gonna pay attention to it, because you know you're winning all the time. And that's, you know, winning usually doesn't get old. But these margins that they are winning by is just very disheartening. And that's the thing, is it gets fans down. It gets the players down, I'm sure. It's like, you know, we don't have a chance. What's the point? Why are we even stepping on the court? I don't know. I heard Gino Auriemma's comments when he was asked a question about a reporter's comments about UConn and, yeah, hurting the game. And he made it seem like by doing this, he's trying to make the sport better by trying to get everybody else on his level. But he seems to be far and away ahead of anybody else. I mean, at this point, why would any top high school girl basketball player want to go anywhere other than UConn right now? I mean, if she wants to keep playing basketball in college and win national championships, that's her only choice right now. They've won, what is it, 4 in a row, or going on 5, or going on 4? I don't even remember. It's
yeah, it'll
I
be
mean,
4 in a row.
Yeah, it's I'd like to say that it's not, but it's I don't know what. Yeah, it has to be, because the only people who are going to be interested in it are fans of the one specific team, and then there's really no mystery to it. Like a year ago today, I didn't know the Royals were going to win the World Series. I wasn't even sure if the Royals were going to make the playoffs. But I probably could have told you 6 months ago that UConn women were going to win the national title.
Yeah. Kind of agree. I don't know really where I stand on that. I think it helps, and I also think it hurts a little bit. But you're right. Like, I don't know. Got to be very disheartening to other teams. Probably, like, we've seen great teams before. I mean, we're seeing it right now with teams, but we've never seen a team that, I mean, I think teams, there's definitely teams out there that step on the floor with the Warriors and think they're going to win. They don't come out there and just be like, man, why are we even out here? And I think that's kind of what every team does against UConn right now. And I'm not sure if we've really seen that. They were talking about it earlier on Russillo and Cannell about how UCLA was dominant back in the day and won all those games, but they had so many close games in there as well, and we just don't even see that from UConn. They're winning by 50, 60 points, and it's not even close. I actually flipped to ESPN this weekend. I don't remember who they were playing. It was before they played Texas. It was their Sweet 16 game, and I looked at the score, 12, and
right.
It was like the second quarter. And
that's what I say, and it's still the second quarter. Like, at that point, I mean, yeah, who is still watching that isn't in Connecticut?
Yeah, pretty much. So I turned it and watched a different game because I think I knew who was going to win that one. So, yeah, pretty interesting. And I actually Texas faced them tonight, and I like Texas. You know, I'm a Texas fan, so if they win in any sport, I'm pretty happy. But I knew they stood no chance tonight. I haven't even seen the score yet, but I'm sure UConn won, and I'm sure UConn won by about 40. So
I hope Texas won by 10. Just so we sound stupid.
I highly doubt it, but if they did, go them. Hey, they actually only lost by 21. It was 86-65.
Okay.
So
that's not too bad, I guess.
But, yeah, that's pretty much all I wanted to know. So I guess we can, before we get into some opening day stuff, do you want to go ahead and make our final four picks and who we think is going to be the national champion?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Well, and Villanova and Oklahoma. Who do you like?
Like we were talking about earlier, it's gonna be close. It's gonna be a really exciting game. Villanova hopefully brings the defense, and Oklahoma hopefully brings Buddy. Uh, he's He's been shooting really well. He's been shooting 70% inside the arc in the tournament and 47% from three. So if he's making shots, they're going to be in it. The only concern I guess would have is turnovers. He actually had six against Oregon, but he did acknowledge that after the game. So he's at least aware of it. Hopefully that won't hurt them against Villanova and their defense. But I was sticking with Oklahoma the last 2 weeks. I guess I got to keep going Oklahoma.
All right, yeah. I agree with pretty much everything you said. I think Oklahoma is going to rely on if Buddy Hield shows up. He showed up in mostly every game this season, so I don't really see why there's any reason why he wouldn't. I think he's averaging 28, 29 points per game in this tournament so far. You mentioned the six turnovers. He also didn't have any assists in that game, but when you're scoring 37 and shooting 8 of 13 from three, don't really think you need to have any assists. He didn't need any help. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Oklahoma by two. I think having Buddy Hield is going to get him over the hump. Maybe we see a last-second shot by him for the win. So. At Oklahoma?
Yeah, that'd be pretty amazing. The other thing is, yeah, Villanova's been great, but I feel like they've had trouble with really dynamic backcourts, and it doesn't get more dynamic than Oklahoma, except maybe North Carolina. It'd be real tough for Villanova to pull off a national championship, in my opinion.
Yeah, they haven't really had any troubles in the tournament so far. They were definitely able to stifle Wayne Selden, Frank Mason, and Perry Ellis. None of them shot the ball well. So if they can get Oklahoma to not making their shots, they definitely have a real shot at winning that game and going to the championship. So I definitely think that game is the biggest toss-up game of the weekend.
All right. On the other side, we have another ACC matchup, North Carolina, Syracuse, the battle of, I guess, team that is coming off NCAA sanctions, the team that's about to get NCAA sanctions. I actually kind of wanted to go into that a little bit, but we don't have to if you don't have any feelings on it. But, yeah, what do you like about the game?
Yeah, I really love what Syracuse has been able to do. I love the underdog team. I love a team that's able to prove people wrong. Also don't mind the Syracuse Orangemen. One of my favorite players came from there, Carmelo. So I definitely like when they can make a deep run because my team's never this far in the tournament. So, I definitely like what they've been doing. But I think North Carolina is far and above the best team and I think they've actually been the best team all season. We just haven't seen them be able to put it together. They put it together now, and I don't think it's stopping anytime soon. I think they win by at least 10, if not more. I think Bryce Johnson and Kennedy Meeks are going to be way too much, and I look for a huge double-double from Bryce Johnson. I don't think anyone on Syracuse can match up with him, and he's going to be getting some pretty easy dunks against that zone if Marcus Page distributes the ball the way that he can. So, I like North Carolina pretty big in that game.
Yeah, for me, I just don't think Syracuse's offense can keep up. This is the most, I guess, not even really consistent. They were kind of terrible shooting in the first half against Virginia. They're not going to be able to score enough points to keep up with North Carolina, not on the streak that they are on. I'm going to have to go North Carolina.
All right. So, looks like we both have Oklahoma, North Carolina in the championship game. Instead of doing an upset pick this week, since we are picking up hot picks again this week, we haven't done them in a couple weeks now. So, and we're picking that back up. Instead of our upset, we're just going to pick out of the four teams who we think is going to win the championship. And, We get it. If we don't, and it's going to go part of our upset record. So, who do you like in that championship game? Should be a pretty good game. I think that game will actually surprised a lot of people. Always like to see really good teams against one really good player. It's interesting to see how the teams react, and I think that's what we would have in this game.
Yeah, definitely. That I guess adage, if you will. But the problem is if North Carolina's biggest stars, aka Bryce Johnson and Marcus Paige, if the two of them are both on, then it's probably going to be enough to overtake Buddy. But I think that, unfortunately, this is where the shooting magic runs out for North Carolina. Actually, I think they're going to finally kind of struggle shooting the ball. When I originally filled out a bracket for us doing all these picks, the two teams I actually had were North Carolina and Oklahoma, and I had picked North Carolina to win, but I'm going to switch it. I'm going with Buddy all the way.
All right. I am going to have to disagree. I think North Carolina is going to keep on rolling. I think it's going to be a good game. I think that Justin Jackson, his length and athletic ability will be able to slow Buddy Hield and cause him some problems. And I think someone else from Oklahoma is going to have to step up. Not sure who that's going to be. They all seem to rely on what Buddy Hield's doing. When he's making shots, the other guys make shots. But when he's not making shots, the other guys don't make shots. And I don't think that's a good recipe against a North Carolina team that can get out and run. They've actually been in some pretty close games, and all of a sudden they hit you with a 12 or 14 nothing run, and it's out of hand before you know it. And I think we might see something like that, maybe not that drastic, but I think a North Carolina run will kind of spark it and give them a win and a championship once again to the Tar Heels. They also can't let Duke have the same amount of championships as them, so they got to go one more up on them.
All right. Fair enough. At least we disagreed on one part of that. All
yeah,
right, well,
and,
we're...
I was just going to say...
Kind of running out of time.
Yeah, we are. So I don't think we'll really get to opening day stuff. We can make our opening day picks from the two games. But since hot picks are starting up again, just a little reminder on the records. I'm 21-28, you're 25-24. Both 4-4 in the upset picks. So you have a 4-game lead on me right now, and I need to catch up. So hopefully North Carolina gets it for me.
All right. Opening night, Mets and Royals, possibly without Matt Harvey. Who you got?
I am going – I think that all the emotion and just the kind of the feel of the night and being opening night ESPN, I think the Royals are going to – going to win the rematch. I think that the Mets, not sure who their starter is going to be yet. I'm guessing it's going to be DeGrom if Matt Harvey can't go. So, I think the Royals are going to win it and pick up their first win of the season coming off championship. They'll also be in some pretty slick uniforms out there, won't they?
Yes, they will, and I am counting the days until I get my hat. But, I hopefully these things are usually set up for the defending champion to win the game. So, the Kauffman crowd, all the banners and all the logos that they've just plastered all over the stadium. And I'd say it was overkill, but they just look so pretty. give me the Royals. Pirates, Cardinals, who you got?
Yeah, the actual opening day game, I'm going to have to go with the Cardinals here. I almost lean towards the Pirates just because I think their opening day starter, Garrett Cole, may be a little better than what the Cardinals are going to throw out there. I don't know if it's going to be Carlos Martinez or who it's going to be, but I like the Cardinals in that one. I just think they have the better team. I think the Pirates are actually going to take a step back this year, so... give me the Cardinals. It's also hard to go against the Cardinals, so we'll go that way.
Well, I'm going to do exactly that and pick the Pirates.
I'm glad you did.
All right.